From the Mercy One Studio.
Be Not Afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists.
Now, hear the good news and be not afraid.
Good morning and welcome to Be Not Afraid on Iowa Catholic Radio. I'm Father PJ McManus, live from the Iowa State Fair with Father Fabian.
Father PJ, good morning.
Good morning, Father.
Amazing weather, very fresh. And many people around us that probably have been expecting a good show, and we kept.
I think we can manage it.
So let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O God, who hath prepared for those who love you good things which no eye can see, fill our hearts, we pray, with a warmth of your love, so that loving you in all things and above all things, we may attain your promises, which surpass every human desire. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
First of all, I have a couple of questions for you. First, you mentioned some time ago that this neighborhood is very familiar for you.
Yeah, that's true.
Your father owned it at a gas station, am I correct?
That's right. So my dad, Pat McManus, not the one everybody knows about, but the other guy, had a little gas station on East 30th, right down the street from the fairgrounds, not where the Quick Trip is that everybody passes to come in, but the other direction, just the other side of the viaduct. And so the Iowa State Fair is a long and important tradition in my family. This is where most of our money would get made for the year. A lot of hours spent out here and with people coming to and from the fair the whole time I was growing up.
Any special good memory that you can and you would like to share with us?
I remember distinctly, probably a sophomore, junior year of high school, the Crown Prince of Senegal came. They got lost. They couldn't figure out how to get into the fairgrounds, and they wound up in our gas station kind of by accident. What I remember most is simply people come from all over the world to the Iowa State Fair. And that is a great gift for us all, and it connects Iowa to places all over the world. When I was assigned in Rome as a brand new priest, there were priests in the house that I lived in Italy who had been to the Iowa State Fair.
Wow!
So that's the kind of outreach that we have, and it's why Iowa Catholic Radio's presence out here during the fair is so important. You know, I'll be out here, and several of our brother priests. Hearing confessions all day long and engaging with the people on the street and in the byways, being conspicuous and witnessing to the gospel so that people know, of course, the fair is fun. It's supposed to be fun. Good food and good music and games and all the rest. But the fair is a place to meet Christ as much as the church is. So we bring the church to the fair.
Absolutely. And it's especially about this pandemic last year, a lot of concerns, difficulties, isolation, social distance, and many positive and negative approaching before the state fair working. But also, as you mentioned, it's a testimony of Christ alive here. You know, a lot of people can socialize as well, you know?
Yeah, it's important. You know, I just came back from Florida, and they're struggling very, very much with the Delta variant. COVID is causing big problems there right now. I had occasion one day to visit the hospital, so I can testify with my own two eyes. Like, it's not made up. They really are overwhelmed. But I think what I'm seeing here at the fair, even just this morning, is people are grateful to be able to be back together, but they're being wise and prudent in trying to take care of themselves and their loved ones. And frankly, we miss the stuff we miss, right? I want a corn dog for breakfast.
And we'll be nice to the people to see our Facebook page from Iowa Catholic Radio, because Father PA dressing today in a beautiful white cassock. And it's very attractive to see that kind of attire in this location, you know?
Well, you know, we've got the cutout of the Pope here, and so I look very much like the Holy Father today. Somebody said as I was walking up, "You gunning for his job, or what's that?"
So.
But I just think it's really important that when we're here, it's very clear who it is we are and what it is we're about.
Right. And also, you mentioned that you had been dressed in this white cassock when you go into Africa, right?
That's right. This was a gift from our sister parish in Africa, so that I'm able to minister effectively when I'm down there. They wear white instead of black because it's so hot. And I figure if I'm hearing confessions in the sun all day, I might as well be cool rather than hot.
One of the many questions that people asking is, especially about a state fair, is how we can identify the face of Christ in the middle of multiple opportunities, fun opportunities. But I think it's the human being itself, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The face of each individual we see as we pass down the concourse, the voice of the auctioneers, and even in the best boar, the best goat, and the best sheep, the handiwork of God's creation and the care that his people show for each other and for what he's made.
And it's very interesting because Pope Francis, from the beginning of his ministry as a pope, he said, go to the periphery, go to the periphery, meet with the people. And I think State Fair is a good opportunity to meet with people of God as well.
If the fair isn't the periphery, and if being present in a place like this isn't what we're called to do, I'm not sure what is.
Absolutely.
This is an important place to be, because of history. The very first state fair at Fairfield in the mid-1800s was organized in part by Father Mazzuchelli. We actually have a newspaper cartoon that shows him at the first state fair. The church's presence here has been ongoing, and we're simply carrying on that long and faithful legacy.
And it's very interesting, the Catholic connection and a faith connection between these massive events like Iowa State Fair versus the participation of the people as well for us. And we have also good memories here. Remember 2 years ago we were here also.
We were. You know, friends, if you haven't been out to the fair yet this year, of course, taking appropriate care relative to your own health, please make sure that you get out this year, and that if you get out, that you stop by the Iowa Catholic Radio booth. Greet us. We'll be happy to see you. And of course, you know, if you eat too many hot dogs, we've got confessions as well.
Iowa Catholic Radio. Be not afraid.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Lee and Eddie in the Morning is provided by Blessman International. Blessman International partners with volunteers and donors to provide sustainable programs for children in South Africa by leading a 12-day, all-inclusive experience sharing the heart of Christ with vulnerable children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessmaninternational.org. That's blessmaninternational.org. Thank you, Blessman International, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines, 515-440-4610, or online, ashworthvision.com.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Five Sons Naturescapes. Five Sons Naturescapes is a Catholic veteran-owned family company providing premium outdoor landscaping. Clean up and restore outdoor living space with retaining walls, privacy fencing, pergolas, paver sidewalks, and patios. Issues with soil settling and water around the foundation and yard? Five Sons Naturescapes can grade and install drainage tile to help. Five Sons Naturescapes online at fivesonsnaturescapes.com.
Welcome back to Iowa Catholic Radio
from the State Fair grounds. So we are in a very interesting scenario today. Father, sometimes the Catholics in general, or people in general, thinking that the life of the priest is not joyful too much. It's not too fun. But being in this kind of a scenario also shows that we also calling to enjoy with the people of God joyful moments as well, you know?
There's absolutely no doubt about that, Father. And, you know, this time of year when so many of our school children are returning to school, I know that I found myself last night at a back-to-school night. I know with the work you do with Holy Family, our kids are going back to school. This is a time of year where there's a lot of energy, right? And I think the State Fair kind of catalyzes a lot of that energy. And it puts us in a place where we're able to be with people not only in crisis, but just in delight, right? Sharing a funnel cake or a cold beer.
Absolutely. And also it's a sign of hope after this very complicated event last year that is still affecting in a second version. And I think this is another moment that we can show also that joyful is a sign of hope in terms of this recuperation, in terms of this more open attitude to receive God's grace in the daily life.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, I mentioned before the break that our history, the church's history with the State Fair, goes all the way back to the beginning. Father Mazzucchelli, back in the 1840s, right, helped organize the first State Fair at Fairfield, whence the town takes its name, and then later at Riverside. And the church has made itself present through the celebration of Holy Mass. In more recent years, through the confession during the day, as priests are able to come out and offer. The deacons, of course, have a booth where they're out to evangelize and greet people. This is an important part of our own history, and it connects us with that very proud history going all the way back to Father Mazzucchelli.
Absolutely. Bring to my mind a question. Do we have any special permission to celebrate the Holy Mass in grounds like the State Fair grounds?
So the Bishop of the Diocese of Des Moines has historically organized Masses for the people, especially on Sunday. So there's a priest who'd be assigned out here. And there have been several guys over the course of the State Fair's history that have been assigned as sort of chaplains to the fair. The priest at St. Joseph is, of course, the territorial pastor of the fair, as it were.
Correct.
But Father Pins, of course, relies on a lot of us, like you and I, to come out and assist. And so each one of us just sort of pitching in and making sure the Catholics at the fair are attended to and the non-Catholics see us and are able to engage with us and maybe learn something new.
And also a very interesting response to you when I asked you, oh, nice, white Catholic, very attractive. You said that also you are dressing for a special reason.
Right. Well, when we're visible in public, we're able to make public witness. When we're invisible, we might be present, and if you have an opportunity to be kind to somebody, that's important. But nobody's going to know we came from the church. In order for the church to be able to be the church, we've got to be clear that we work for the church, right?
Right.
But my own experience, people around town see me in the cassock. They think I'm trying to make some kind of a statement. What this is honestly about is I lived my first 20 years as a grown-up in a religious community. I just don't like keeping clothes.
Okay.
I've got three cassocks that I wear, and then, frankly, I'm in pajamas underneath pretty much all the time. It allows me to live simply in a way that I wouldn't be able to otherwise.
Very interesting, because it's how we can be witnesses, visible and invisible as well,
right,
for the people of God as well. In this context of the ordinary time, we had a very remarkable experience in the Sunday's Gospel with the Gospel of John, especially to talking about the Holy Eucharist, the Bread of Life, and probably people could be a little bit said, okay, one time is good, but even in this kind of open presence for many people, the Holy Eucharist also shows us a beautiful education in terms of universal bread of life.
Yeah.
It's not for a certain particular community. It's a universal desire of God, you know?
You know, the Eucharist is only intelligible when we're able to eat. So I think a place like the State Fair is an important sort of witness to the power of the Blessed Sacrament, in as much as there's all this food, right? We're surrounded by food. And this is, it's a kind of a living banquet, right? We're surrounded by all of this delectable food, like the prophecy in Isaiah, right? Right. Choice wines and good food. In this context, we can come to see what he's doing with the Eucharist more clearly, because what the delights of the fair offer to the body, which is real, are offered to our souls in Holy Communion, I don't think we think about it that way much of the time. I think a lot of times we treat this, you know, kind of like a little Jesus vitamin, like a pill that we take that's going to just make us a little bit better. And really, we're meant to delight in every communion. That's where the custom of making the Thanksgiving after communion really came from, and by staying a few minutes after Mass just to give thanks for the gift, not only to pray for stuff, but to be grateful for the gift that's been given is so significant.
And talking about the bread of life, also we can smell very good flavors here at the State Fair grounds as well. And also, Father, the Holy Eucharist provides us communion and a group celebration. Also in this kind of business working here, but also it's a congregation, congregate people, congregate spirit and community as well, that probably in this time is crucial to about that.
As I was walking up the concourse to get to the booth here this morning, I ran into a couple from Sibley, Iowa, and I have an aunt who's gone to God and an uncle who live up in Sibley, and I celebrated my aunt's funeral mass, and they recognized me. We say in the third canon of the Mass, right, that God gathers the people from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Beautiful.
To make the sacrifice. And literally here at the fair, people come from east and west and north and south, and people come together that would otherwise never be together.
Absolutely.
Which is why the presence of the church at the fair is so important.
Of course, this is a very, very exceptional scenario to provide evangelization, you know, in multiple ways, in the presence, talking with the people, visiting different scenarios, and just looking people as well, you know.
2 years ago, I had people that wound up, you know, coming, joining the parish and the school in because of our presence at the fair. Like, they came and signed up for the school, which was 3 or 4 days before school started.
Wow.
Because of the presence of the priest at the fair. So the potential for this is really limitless. One of the booths selling turkey legs. And even just the interaction that happens there, buying something to eat, you know. And the kids that she's working with, seeing, she's got an uncle who's that funny-looking little priest. This winds up putting Christ in a place where otherwise we mightn't ever meet him.
Be not afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio's broadcast of Dowling Catholic Sports and Activities is provided by Kemen. Kemen strives to sustainably transform the quality of life every day for 80% of the world with their products and services. Kemen, using science to transform the world. Online at Kemen.com.
Thank you, Golden Rule Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, for sponsoring my show, John Lee and Eddie in the Morning on Iowa Catholic Radio. Golden Rule, servicing Des Moines for over 15 years. They obey the rules to live by, especially the Golden Rule. Online at goldenrulephc.com.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full-service print shop, ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. BigRedQ-DesMoines.com.
Are you a Catholic who wants to fall deeper in love with Christ and His Church? Do you want to learn more about how you fit into the greatest love story in the history of the world? Do you want to be strengthened in your understanding of our Church's teachings? Have you ever wondered how the Catechism can be a resource and an enrichment to your faith? If you answer yes to any of these questions, then the Catechetical Institute is for you. Find out more by visiting our website at faithjourneyci.com or call John at 515-237-5006.
Thanks to Blessman International for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Every year, Blessman International leads teams of Central Iowans to share the compassionate heart of Christ with orphans and vulnerable children in South Africa. You can learn more and sign up for a trip at blessmaninternational.org.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by the St. Vincent de Paul Golf Outing to fight food insecurity. Friday, September 17th, Copper Creek Golf Club in Pleasant Hill, 10 a.m. SVDPDSM.org. That's SVDPDSM.org. Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte, an authorized independent agent for Walmart Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Iowa, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. Learn more at 515-226-2111 or cindyschulte.com.
Welcome back to Iowa Catholic Radio, Be Not Afraid, from State Fair Grounds. So this coming 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time, the letter from St. Paul to the Ephesians brings us on a very interesting point to talking according to the place that we are here. So St. Paul said, brothers and sisters, we subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives should be subordinate to their husband as to the Lord, for the husband is head of his wife, just as Christ is head of the church, he himself the savior of the body. The church is subordinated to Christ, so wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her to sanctify her, cleansing her by the bath of water in the word, that they might present to himself the church in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So also husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one hates his own flesh, but rather nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak in reference to Christ and the church, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You know, this is, I think, probably the most reviled passage in Scripture in our day, and it's a great shame, because St. Paul's doing something more complex than people are giving him credit for with the language of submission and mutual submission. This is not some weird Christian, like, misogyny. That's not, in fact, he's saying the opposite, but because we're stuck on the first verse, people can't see past it. And the reason this is so important is not simply to, like, reestablish traditional gender roles or something like that. This is way more basic than that. This is the only place in the whole of the New Testament that the word sacrament is used.
You said completely right, because probably sounds about a certain words and completely misunderstanding, and sounds like machism. Mm-hmm. Machism's expression for the wrong word, and it's not like that. It's joyful and joined together. It's together. Together, men and women are called to be in a family. And this is a very interesting scenario to talking about it, because family, you can come here in family and join as a family as well.
That's it. That's it. Real men don't need machismo.
Correct.
There's no need to be macho. You don't have to prove it. You just are it.
Absolutely.
And the reason St. Paul draws on this image of marriage to talk about Christ's relationship to the church is really, really significant, both for Catholics and for Protestants. It's important for Protestants because at the time of the Reformation, marriage was the one thing they all agreed on wasn't a real sacrament. And the reason for it was they'd so narrowed their understanding of what it took to be a sacrament that they wanted to see a picture of Jesus in the gospel doing the thing. And basically, since Jesus wasn't the rabbi at the wedding at Cana, it's not a real sacrament. But of course, St. Paul's making a much more fundamental claim. We're not supposed to try and fit the sacraments as sort of as we have them, especially ritually, into neat categories, and then marriage fit that. Rather, any sacrament that's an authentic encounter with Christ follows the model of marriage.
Excellent.
It establishes a relationship, and a relationship which is permanent and which makes demands on us. And that's true of every sacrament, from the very beginning with baptism until we're anointed right before our death. It establishes us in relationship to God, and a relationship that endures even unto death.
Also, it's important to provide a little bit a context about the letter from St. Paul to the Ephesians in this case. Just looking for the Jewish tradition in the relationship between man and woman, and especially husband and wife.
Right. So it's easy to dismiss the passage as simply an artifact of another time or another culture. It's important to be aware of the time and the culture, but the truth that St. Paul speaks here is not bound by time. In fact, it extends into eternity, which is what sacraments are all about.
And also, I think we need to, I'd like to make a special emphasis about a joyful is part of the human being also love committing mistakes, learn from mistakes, and fun the life. Sometimes this rigid structure creates more trauma, may I say more complex scenarios, than more freedom and authenticity in the relationship between men and women. You know?
One of the things that happens, one of the things I say very often, in the context of marriage, is that, you know, the sacrament of penance, of confession, it's become very common to call it reconciliation. I don't like this. I don't like it first because the church doesn't do it, and I don't like it more because what the church does is all the sacraments reconcile. And I think the most fundamental sacrament, and the first sacrament of reconciliation is baptism, obviously. But I think the most basic experience of reconciliation most of us ever know is in marriage.
Absolutely.
What relationship do you need reconciled in more than there? So don't limit this process of being reconciled to God in Christ Jesus only to the moment of sacramental absolution. This especially exists in those most significant relationships between husbands and wife.
And also the beautiful emphasis that the letter from St. Paul shows about the devotional relationship between men and women. Also, we're talking about the holy sacrifice from our Lord at the Holy Eucharist as well.
All right.
So show us an intimate and a deeply encounter with the presence of God himself.
That's right. I mean, what happens in marriage at the altar and then ultimately in the marriage bed is really what's fulfilled on the altar. The altar, the sacrifice of the altar, in a certain way, is sort of God's lovemaking to his people. And whatever happens in human acts of love is ultimately sort of an icon or a mirror of that. It's so important, friends, that we pay attention to the epistle at Mass, because very often we breeze by it. It's stuck between two other things. And what St. Paul really gave us is ageless wisdom, wisdom that will carry us to eternity.
And sometimes in the first reading, in the first time when we're reading this letter from St. Paul to the Ephesians, it's an immediate, oh, this is against husband, this is against woman,
right.
But like that. But if we look in more careful vision, we understand how much God loves us in terms of fidelity, consistency, persistence in our ministry, and in this case, through the sacrament of matrimony as well, and for us as a priest as well.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Well, what a great gift it is to be out here at the Iowa State Fair, and friends, do come out to visit us, and stop by the Iowa Catholic Radio booth, make yourselves present, and thank God for Christ here at the fair. May Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Be not afraid. Iowa Catholic Radio.
Be not afraid. Jesus is on the way to encounter you.
Be not afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists.